Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. He is so good. Mercy endures forever. Amen, amen, yes. Amen. Hello, Apostle.
Hello, 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 Apostle. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm blessing you. I got my notebook and I'm ready to hear your words.
Well, glory to God, glory to God. I tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, the Lord God, He is God. And there is no other God besides Him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's wonderful. Isn't He wonderful, Apostle?
He's wonderful. He's a blessing.
He is wonderful. Now, well, let's go into the Word of God. Father, we just thank you. I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. I tell you, I confess growth, and I confess them to listen all around the world. I confess that people are listening. People are tuning in to hear the living Word of God. Now, if you would, turn your Bibles with me. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 and on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. And if you need prayer and you'd like to talk to me, call me at 832-454-5062. That's 832-454-5062. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And this is the name of your Jesus, the name of Yeshua that I pray. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 41, and we'll read verses 10 through 13. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 13. The scripture says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Good God Almighty. God said that with some attitude. He said, "What you fearing for? You don't have to fear, because I am with thee." Glory
Amen.
To God. You know, you gotta see in the spirit how, you know, God has some attitude here. He's saying it with some attitude. He said, "Fear thou not." Why? "For I am with thee." What you have to be afraid for? I'm with thee, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Almighty God. I'm with you. So why should you fear? He says, "Be not dismayed." You don't have to walk around in a state of confusion. "For I am thy God."
I am thy God.
I am thy God. You know, God is saying that it's power in that. He says, "I am your God." You don't have to be afraid of nobody, no one, no situation. I am thy God. You don't have to walk around like a chicken with your head cut off, all confused. You don't have to do that, for I am thy God. He says, "I will strengthen thee." Yeah. "I will help thee." Yeah. "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Amen.
He says, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. All those who have come up against you, they shall be confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, those that contend with you, they try to deal with you." Look what God says. "Those that try to deal with you in an evil way." He says, "Even them that contendeth with thee, and they that war against thee, shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught."
My God. Hallelujah.
Good God Almighty. God will deal with those that contend with you. God will deal with them. And if they don't want to pay attention, he says, I'll wipe them off the earth. Look at verse 12. He says, thou shalt seek them. He says, thou shalt seek them. Who's them? Those who are coming against you.
Yes.
Those who are plotting and planning evil against you and trying to destroy you with their mouth or any time, kind of way, physically, spiritually, any kind of way. He says, you shall seek them and shall not find them. Good God Almighty. God will give those people a chance who are trying to destroy. I mean, come on now. Who in your right mind, why would you think that you can get away with coming against the servant of the Most High God? I mean, come on now. Don't
save
come
us,
against the servant of the Most High God. He's working for God. He's serving God, or she's working for God. She's serving God. It's a dangerous thing to mess with the servant of the Most High God. He says, if you don't repent and you don't stop it right now, they shall seek them and shall not find them. Why? Because God will wipe them off the face of this earth. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing. Now look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not thy worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And so the message God has given me for you today is I'm with you. Good God Almighty. I'm with you. God want me to tell you tonight that he's with you. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? He says, I'm with you. What is God with us for? Number one, he's with you. God is with you, those who are listening all around the world. God told me to tell you he's with you. I'm with you. Make it personal. That's the message. I'm with you. Number one, God says, I'm with you. Yud, hey, vav, hey, Yahweh, Yahweh. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true living God. He says, number one, I'm with you to comfort you. To comfort you. Has God ever comforted you in the midnight hour? He specializes in that. All things falling apart all around you. God has a way of coming in and comforting you. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you, number one, to comfort you. To comfort you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 3 and 4. The scripture says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of what? All comfort. Good God Almighty. God says, I'm with you to comfort you. He's the God of what? All comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. Can you say all our tribulation? God has come, he's with us to comfort us, not in some of the hell we're going through, not in some of the hard things that we're going through. No, he's with us to comfort us in all tribulation. All tribulation in your body, tribulation in your finances, trouble in your family, trouble in your marriage, trouble in your ministry. God is with you to comfort you in all your tribulation. He says, who comforted us in all our tribulation. that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You see, God comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort others in all their trouble, any of their trouble, any meaning all of their trouble. God comforts you so you can go and comfort others in all their tribulation, in all their trouble. But God Almighty, I tell you, God is he's somebody. God is an awesome God. I'm with you, God says, number one, to comfort you. To comfort you how? In all tribulation, in all your trouble, so that you may be able to comfort those who are in trouble in any of their trouble. Look at verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, tribulation is trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Good God Almighty. God says, I'm with you, number one, to comfort you. To comfort you. So then, in turn, you can go and comfort others. In what? In all their trouble, in any of their trouble, any of their tribulation. We're not to beat one another down. No, we're to comfort ye one another. We're to comfort others in their trouble. We're not to ask them, well, what did you do? What did you do to bring this on yourself? No, we're to comfort others in all of their tribulation, in all of their trouble. I tell you, when you're going through something, that's one of the worst things to do is to ask someone, well, what did you do to cause all this? And, well, you know, they're in trouble, man. Woman, they're in trouble. Just comfort them. You don't want to go through that. You don't want someone to be questioning you when you're going through trouble and tribulation in your life. No, you need them to comfort you. And so God says, comfort them like I've comforted you. Comfort them at the same level that I've comforted you. God says, I'm with you, number one, to comfort you, to comfort you. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Apostle, has he ever comforted you before? Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants to comfort you. He wants to comfort you with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm with you, God says. Number one, to comfort you. Number two, I'm with you to strengthen you. God says, I'm with you to strengthen you. God wants to strengthen you. Look at Psalm chapter 18. God is with you, not to beat you down, not to make you feel miserable. No, he's with you, number one, to comfort you, and number two, to strengthen you. To strengthen you. Look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. God is with us to comfort us and to strengthen us when we need to be strengthened. Psalm 18, look at verses 31 through 34. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength. Look at that. It's God that girded you with strength, child of God. It is God who girds us with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hind feet and setteth me upon my high places. God says he'll put you in your high places and he'll strengthen you to stay up there. He'll help you to stay up there. He'll promote you and help you to stay promoted. He'll strengthen you to help you. He said, I'll make your feet like hind feet. Have you ever seen those have you ever watched Wild Kingdom of those, or those animal programs on TV? And have you ever watched those billy goats those mountain goats. Those mountain goats can be up high in the mountain, high up on the mountaintop, and they can just be dancing around on the mountaintop and jumping from rock to rock. They're sure-footed. They're up high and they're sure-footed. And you know what? You don't see them falling off the mountain. They're sure-footed. And so God says, I'm going to make your feet like those mountain goats' feet. I'm going to elevate you and put you in your high places, but I'm going to help you stay there. Good God Almighty. I'm going to elevate you and help you to stay elevated. God will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. Look at verse 34. He says, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. God will strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. He's with us. He says, I'm with you, number one, to comfort you. And then he says, I'm with you to strengthen you. Look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The message is, I'm with you. God woke me up early one morning about between 5 and 5:30, and he told me, I'm with you. He had Bishop Henry Galloway, a general of the faith, had him call me on the phone to let me know that God was with me. I tell you, God wanted me to share with you tonight that he's with you. He says, I'm with you. Number one, I'm with you to comfort you. Number two, I'm with you to strengthen you. So don't you give up on yourself. Don't you quit on yourself. God is the God of all comfort. He comes to comfort you, and he comes to strengthen you. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Look, when this is it's titled Moses' Song. This is Moses' song. What's Moses' song? He says, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Moses said, the Lord is my strength and song. Look at that. He said he recognized where his strength comes from. You know, and David said, I will lift up my eyes toward the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You see, you got to know where your strength comes from. Now, that word in strength in the Hebrew is chayil, and it means resources. God will strengthen you by giving you what? Resources. It also means strength and power and might. He will literally give you strength and power and might in your body when you need strength. He's with you to strengthen you. That word strengthen in Hebrew is chayil, and it means resources. You know resources. God will use resources to strengthen you. It means substances. God will use substance. That's things, stuff. He will give you stuff to what? To strengthen you. Have you ever been broke before? Have you ever been broke before, didn't have any money, and you just felt so weak because you didn't have any money? But then God sent someone your way to hand you some money. Man, that money, what? God used that money to what? Strengthen you. I know you felt much better after you got the money that you needed. He used that money to strengthen you. Yechiel, strengthen. God will use resources. He'll use money. He'll use substances. He'll use wealth. That word chayil, it means strengthening in Hebrew. Chayil, the word for is chayil, for strengthen in Hebrew. And it means resources, substance. It means power. It means wealth. It means riches. God will use riches to strengthen you. I've been broke before. Oh, my back has been against the wall before. Bills are due, didn't know how I was going to pay them. Man, I just felt weak, and I needed to be strengthened. And God would send someone, make a way for me to get some money into my hand. Boy, once I got that money in my hands, I was what? Strengthened. Don't tell me God won't use money to strengthen you. He will, because that word strengthen in Hebrew is chayil. And it means substance. It means riches. It means resources. It means wealth, power. It means might. God will use things, even things, to put some strength into you. Good God Almighty. It also means soldiers. Soldiers. God will give you soldiers that will fight on your side, that will be with you when you need help. God will give you soldiers to be in your corner, to have your back. I remember years ago, I mean, when I was in elementary, you know what, I was a square. Didn't like fighting in elementary, you know what, and they would, some guys were all bullies, would pick on me after school and follow me home and throw rocks at me. But one day, God put a brother in my life, and his name was Keithy Moore, and another brother, Michael Reed. Man, these guys would take up for me. They were soldiers for me. God put a liking in their heart for me, into their heart. They liked me and took up for me. And, man, I tell you, we have a great relationship. He's Michael Ray. I said, well, we're family. Keithy, we're family. I mean, God gave me soldiers to help me out when people were bullying me. And praise God. You know what, Michael Red, he's in heaven now. Bless his heart. I love him. I tell you, he's family to me. He's in heaven now. He's been in heaven for a couple of years. He ended up being a minister, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend Keithy Moore, he's somewhere in the country around Austin. But God raised up soldiers for me. God would give you soldiers to strengthen you. That word, it's chayil, and that's the Hebrew word for strengthen. God will give you soldiers, people on your side that will help you and strengthen you. I'm with you, God says. Number one, to comfort you. Number two, to strengthen you. To strengthen you. And God will not only use people, but he'll use things. He'll use money to strengthen you. I remember just a few weeks ago, I had to, man, the enemy attacked my finances. Amen. I had to pawn my wedding ring and my apostle's ring, and those rings together, both of those rings together is $6,000. But, you know, the pawn shop didn't give me that much money for my rings. And I have to pawn those rings. I tell, oh, man, my wedding ring and my apostle's ring. I tell, oh, man, and I tell you, that really bothered me. And it even bothered my wife. And you know, my rings were in the pawn shop for about 3-4 months. But God came and strengthened me. He gave me some money, bought me some supernatural money. And then I was able to go and even get my rings out of a pawn shop. And don't you know God used that to bring strength in me? It's to strengthen me. That's why, stick with the word. God will even use people. He'll even use things to strengthen you. I'm with you, God says. I'm with you to comfort you. I'm with you to strengthen you. And I'm with you to deliver you. No matter what trouble you're in, God is able to deliver you. He can, and he will, and he wants to. He wants to deliver you. Don't think God is not in the business of trying to destroy people. God come to seek and save all those who are lost. Some people are painting an ugly picture of God. Stop painting an ugly picture of God. God is a good God, and goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. God is not an evil God. God is not looking to hit you upside the head with a baseball bat. God is a good God. God is with you to comfort you and to strengthen you and to deliver you when you need deliverance. He's a good God. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 17. Verses 17 through 20. Listen to what it says. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Not some of their troubles, but all their troubles. When the righteous cry, when those who are washed in the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach when the righteous cry, those who have confessed Jesus as Lord with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead, when the righteous cry, God says, I hear them. The Bible says that he heareth us, and when he hears us, what does he do? He delivereth us out of all our troubles, not some of our troubles, but all our troubles. You see, God is with you to deliver you, to deliver you. God don't take pleasure in seeing his children in bondage. God don't take pleasure in seeing his people in lack and poverty and sickness and disease. Matter of the Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servant. God likes to see his servant doing well. He likes to see his children, the righteous, doing good. That's why in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, to the overflow. God wants you blessed spiritually. He wants you blessed physically. He wants you blessed financially. God wants you doing good in your family. He wants you enjoying your career. God wants you to enjoy the abundant life. He says, I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to comfort you. I'm with you to strengthen you. God, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble, not some of his troubles, but all of them. God hears the cry of the righteous, and he delivers them. He delivers us out of all our troubles. I'm with you, God says. I'm with you, number one, to comfort you. I'm the God of all comfort. I'm the God that comforts you in all tribulation. And then you, in turn, are to go in to comfort others in any of their tribulations. He says, I'm with you to strengthen you. I'll use whatever I can to strengthen you. I'll use resources. I'll use soldiers. I'll use substances. I'll use riches. I'll use wealth. I'll use might. I'll use what I got to use to strengthen you. Then he says, I'm with you to deliver you. He hears the cry of the righteous and delivers them out of all their trouble. And then God is the God of increase. He says, I'm with you to increase you. To increase you and your whole family. I want to see all of you doing well. I want you eating good, smelling good, driving good. I want you looking good. I want you representing me well. Amen. That's why I will increase you. I will make you a signet ring to the world. I'll make you a sign, a billboard for everyone to see that I'm a good God. You know, God's tired of people lying on him, making him look like a ruthless, mean, evil God. No, God is a good God, and he is the God of increase. He's a much more God. God wants to give you much more than what you have. Look at Psalm chapter 115 and verse 11. Psalm 115 and verse 11 through 14. He's the God of increase, and he says, I'm with you to increase you. Psalm 115, verse 11 through 14, he says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The Lord has us on his mind. He will bless us. Look at that. All throughout the Bible, you're hearing about how God blesses his children. He will bless the house of Yisrael. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless Apostle Hunter's house. He will bless Apostle Newsom's house. He will bless my brothers and sisters' house that are listening to this message all around the world. Look at verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you how? More and more. You and your children. You see, God says, I'm with you to increase you. God is a prosperity God. The streets up there are made with gold. One pearl makes a gate. I tell you, God is the God of increase. And he's with you not only to comfort you, not only to strengthen you, not only to deliver you, but he's also with you to strengthen you. To strengthen you. I tell you, the saints got to start. Some saints, I'm telling you, I know you're probably doing it because you're just making a mistake or you've just been taught the wrong way. But I tell you, I mean, God is a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He wants you living long and he wants you living strong. He wants you doing good in life. He's a good God. And that's what he wanted me to tell you tonight. I'm with you. I'm with you to comfort you. I'm with you to strengthen you. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to increase you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, tonight's been a night, my dear brother. You preached the word of God, and I want to thank God because God is with us. And to those who can believe, God is with us. So I would say to you, may God bless you and may he keep you. As pastor, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Hey, man. How are you doing? All doing right. Good.
I'm all right. Blessed. I'm blessed. Praise God.
You amen. Know, it's your program. Go for it.
Yeah, I know. You know, I just like to have, if you could right now, just come together in prayer. I got a pastor friend of mine, a man that I've been working with for 10 years, and he's been having some trouble with his liver, and we do a lot of disaster ministry. We've been different places in the world, and he's been to 67 different countries all over the world doing disaster relief ministry, and he needs our prayer right now, and just if I can real quick, if you lift him up in prayer. He was diagnosed a while back with cirrhosis of the liver, and right now he's in the hospital in the ER. So if I say, you know, we just lift him up in prayer for a minute. And then for those kids that were killed today on 610 in that bus accident, you know, it's a terrible thing that's going on. So just I can just real quick here, thank you for being who you are. Lord, we know everything is under your control. Lord, we know and we understand, but we ask right now, Lord, for your healing hand to be upon Jerry, Lord, while he's in the hospital, Lord. The doctors give him wisdom, Lord, to be able to treat him, Lord. Lord, we ask for a healing of his liver, Lord. And Lord, right now, we ask right now, Lord, that you comfort those families that lost their kids today in that terrible bus accident down there in Houston. Father, I ask that you just be with each and every one here. You know, we know that there's people all over the world that's lost loved ones today and that are sick and need your healing hand. Father, I ask that we all come together in agreement, Lord, that you be with each and every one of us, Lord, and Lord, that your hand be upon us, Lord. And I ask for a special blessing, Lord, for those who are ailing right now, Lord, that you would be with them. We lift them up to you and you would help them, Lord, in any aspect, in any way that they need. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. Anyhow, listen, tonight I'm going to go take you guys to a place that I preached this Sunday, and it was a little bit on the, kind of took everybody by surprise. It's, you know, Satan hits us at our weakest spot. And if you really think about it, you don't even realize where your weak spot is. See, most people will sit there and say, well, you know, I used to drink. You know, I'm really weak. I'm going to have to stay away from all that drinking. I don't even look at grapes because I'm afraid it's going to ferment. And then you get the others and you sit there and they say, well, you know, I have a problem with porn, so I have to stay off the internet. I can't get in and look at the internet because I'm afraid I'll go in to start looking at porn. And then, you know, there's other people who lust after this or lust after that, you know, or boys lusting after girls and girls after boys and whatever and so on and so forth. Well, you know, according to what Paul said, where I'm weak, I'm strong, and where I'm strong, I'm weak. But if you really, truly understand what that message means is, see, all those people who recognize the fact that they have a problem either with drinking or lust or so on and so forth, whatever the case it may be, they're strong. they're strong because they recognize the fact. But where they don't recognize the fact, those who don't recognize the fact, is when something, when everything comes so good together for you in your life, when you become bigger than life itself. You know, as Lucifer, he thought he was bigger than God, that he was going to put his throne above God. And God said, no, you're not, and cast him out. Ever since then, Satan, one thing and one purpose in mind, that's to seek, kill, and destroy. You know, and then he doesn't care. He does not about us personally. See, God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And God loves to give gifts. God loves to raise us up that we can have whatever. If it's a recording contract or a business or whatever the case may be, you know, a movie star, a Super Bowl player, it makes no difference. See, God is a rewarder for those who believe and diligently work and seek Him. And He's constantly giving and giving and giving. See, Satan hates that. Satan does not care about you. What he cares about is what he hates is that of the love of God for each and every one of us and the gifts that he gives us. And Satan comes in to steal that, to destroy your life and to kill you, to take it out. And so where your weakest point is like I said, when you think you have it all together. You know, when I used to ride motorcycles, I used to do cross country and hill climbing and all that other stuff. And a veteran motorcycle rider, he said to him, told me one day, he says, when you think you can ride that motorcycle, is the day you're going to have an accident. And I said to him, I said, yeah, right. Well, he was right because I got overconfident. And sure enough, I had an accident. See, sometimes we get beyond what God has given us. We get beyond the fact that who we are and figure we're bigger and better than anything else. And then at that point, we're overconfident, and that's when Satan comes in because that's at our weakest point. And he comes in and he cripples us. Whether it be in your ministry, it doesn't make any difference where it's at. Many have fallen in ministry. We've seen ministers that have fallen for that same reason, because they figured they became bigger and better than anything else. We see it, you know, it's humanistic. I'm not blaming the churches, don't get me wrong. It's individuals. It's not all pastors or anything else, any more than it is all superstars, any more than it is anyone else. It's an individual. But we have to be aware, each and every one of us has to be aware of that where our weakest point is when we become greater than what we are, when we become overconfident in everything that we do. See, Satan comes in at that point, and he begins to chip away at us. And then he plants a seed and begins to grow, and it grow, and grow. And eventually, at some point, he trips us up. Now, I've been working on a house up in Cold Spring for about 3 weeks. And I'm not going to go into any names or anything else, but I'll tell you what it is. There's three different parts to this, and they're all Christians. All three people that I'm going to talk about right here, right now. One was a contractor. The homeowner is asking, says, hey, could you put a roof on our house? The contractor says, yeah, sure, I can go up there and put a roof on the house. And the guys that were working with the contractor said, hey, boss, says, don't be taking that roof off today, man. It's going to rain. He says, hey, screw it. We're taking the roof off. We'll just put some plastic over it, and we'll get back at it in the morning. There was a four-hour downpour, like a monsoon, that literally gutted these people's house. prize was won for this man, this contractor. Thought he was, knew what was better than the people that he was had working for him. And it literally destroyed this house. The couple that owned the house, the woman who owned the house, that was her pride and joy, that was her everything. That was she had false hope, false promises, and everything else that was put into that house because she took so much into that that it was bigger and greater than she was and anything but bad was or anything else. And through that, her misery started. Her husband was about ready to divorce her, torn apart the household. It's torn about that with the contractors who made the mistake in the first place that destroyed the house in the first place. It's brought strife in the church because the couple said they were going to sue this man. Then they said, well, go do it biblically. What we'll do, we'll take it before the church and before the council. And let's go that way instead of suing the brother what it says in the Bible. So they bring strife into the church. And they bring all this other stuff into the church. Now that's two out of the three. The third person was a young man that used to be in the gang. Then he got his life right. And he had married a woman in a church. And he went into the prison ministry. And he was preaching in the prison ministry. And for whatever reason, Satan did not like the idea that this man was going into his territory, into the prison, and bringing out the people and bringing them to the cross. And so Satan got in and destroyed this man's marriage. So the man turned around and walked away from the church. And he went back into the world and started doing worldly things and started a business and started everything else. The disobedience because God had called him into the ministry. Through that, each and every one of them have their own personal story of what's going on and what's going on in their lives. But in reality, if you really look at it, each and every one that turned their back on God turned their back on the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. Each and every one that took a bit of pride, a little bit of lust, a little bit of false prosperity, a little bit of whatever else it was that's come about in their lives. God speaks about that in the Bible. He tells us of these things. And yet, each, every one, this poor man that really contracted out the job to do the inside of the work, it finally broke him. The man that owned the house sits there and called me up and says, hey, will you come up here and help get this straightened out? And I said, I really don't want to, but yeah, I'll go up there. So when I got up there, I realized and I seen what was going on, that I got to ministering to the young man that was redoing the inside of the house. And I watched the woman sit there, and she nitpicked the house apart and everything that this man was doing that had brought him to tears. And the only thing he really wanted to do was do a good job on this house. He says, Pastor, he says, I'm done. He says, I'm broke. This job broke me. I'm finished. If this is what Christianity is all about, if this is what it's all about, I don't want no more part of it anymore. This is a hand of Satan. This is a hand that came in that took three Christian brothers and sisters and turned them against each other. Because each and every one was set in their own way of having their own thing, and everything they were doing was bigger than what God was, bigger than life itself. They had put their pride, they had to put everything else into what it is that they were looking at, what they were doing, and everything that they had, and it was bigger, and they were brought down. And in doing so, they brought down, like I said, they got the church involved, this brought strife into the church. It's brought strife into the household. It's brought strife between the three different brothers in Christ. We have to be very careful what God has given us. Yes, He's a good God, and He will give us anything we ask for. You know, a lot of us play with God in a lot of respects. We can jump in His hand and jump out of His hand, repent, jump back into His hand, jump out of His hand, and back and forth and back and forth. But you know, there will be so one point in time God's going to close his hand up. It's just like the ten maidens. They had lamps of oil. Five of them had a full lamps of oil, and the other five needed oil, and they told them, you better go get it. So they jumped back out, went back out, they opened the door, and when they come back, the door was closed. At some point, God will sit there and was going to do this. He didn't say that you would not be welcome into heaven. But we keep playing with God. We keep playing with all the different things. There's a price that we're going to have to pay for, whether we be in the outer court, the middle court, or the inner court.
Amen.
God says we'll have a place in heaven. Place in heaven. Is it going to be the outer court? Ooh, I just got in by the skin of my teeth. Ooh, man, I'm glad I made it. Then there's the inner court. Then there's the faithful. Those are the ones who sit there and struggled and strived and everything else that strived to be what God had called them to be and wanted them to be, and they recognized and they saw what the work of the devil was, and they stood above it. We can't let the things in life sit there tear us apart from what's going on and what God is trying to do in our lives. We're in our last days. We're seeing this. We're seeing this with that deal went through with Iran. We're seeing it. That the nation is turning its back on Israel. We're seeing it. We can't do this. We can't afford to sit there and bring strife into the brother, into the church, and into the lives of each other, and sit there and still sit there and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a good man. We cannot continue to afford to sit there and play with God, jump into his hand and jump out of his hand and jump into his hand and jump out of his hand, because one day you're going to have some oil for that lamp, or you're going to have a full lamp full of oil. Will that door close before you? Will God sit there and close his hand? You not be able to jump back into it? I sit there and I've been witnessing and I've been seeing these different things come about. You know, we can go back as far as David when he defeated Goliath. Goliath tormented and he mocked God, and David stood strong and he defeated Goliath, defeated the enemy. But later on, David got proud. He got bigger than himself. He got bigger than everything else, even though he was the apple of God's eye, that he sat there and he lusted after another man's wife and literally had that man go out and be killed so he could have his wife, because to cover up to the mistake that he had made. And in doing so, everything came against David. God sat there and says, David, says you could have had anything you wanted. Why did you take that man's wife? But instead, his son raped his daughter. His other son came and wanted him dead and take over his kingdom. This is the strife, this is the anger, and this is stuff that Satan has seen when we know we're at our point in our lives, where Satan comes in at our weakest point is when we feel we're the strongest. We need to be aware of it, and we need to recognize it. God says we need to humble ourselves before him, and that's where we need to be. We need to humble ourselves before God and stay humble.
That's right.
We can't afford to have that envy. We can't afford to have everything that we're doing and have it called good, and we know it's evil.
Amen.
Can't afford to sit there and live a double life.
Amen.
We can't afford to continue walking in one direction and preaching in another direction.
Amen.
God is with us. God is a sovereign God.
Amen.
God is a just God. God is a loving God and a giving God.
Amen.
But you know also, he will also use evil to bring us down. And not the evil, not the, but to correct us. And sometimes it's harsh. It's no more than you guys who have had children and sit there and listen to your children whine and complain and do whatever else until you finally say enough is enough.
Amen.
God is no different.
Amen.
He is going to say enough is enough.
Amen.
And we need to know where we stand with God. Do we stand on the right or do we stand on the left?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you know, like I said, we're coming into the last days. And Satan is getting more power, and there's more is coming into the world. See, every time you make a mistake, every time you give in to lust, every time you give in to some type of temptation into that spirit, they take that power. Yes, you can go back and repent and God will restore it, but it won't be the same power what you had. It's like having, I showed a guy the other day, I said, it's like taking two quarters. And I looked, I said, I'm going to give you this quarter. But if you lose that quarter, I'll give you another quarter, but it won't be the same quarter. God will continue to fill us. He will continue to sit there, and he will continue to bless us. And he will, as long as we're humble and we repent and we keep ourselves a sober mind. But every time we give in to some type of temptation, every time we give in to Satan, every time an attack comes and we get weak and we fall down and we murmur and we complain and we cry and we kick and we scream and we surrender to Satan instead of humbling ourselves and crying out to the Lord and asking God for forgiveness or mercy or whatever it is, the case it may be that we are dealing with at the time we need to be in, instead of cursing God and saying, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you make this do this to me? Why did you do this? Why? Instead of saying, praise God, thank you, Jesus, for you're with me. Your love and your mercy and your grace endures forever. We need to know where we stand. We need to know when these attacks come, how to deal with them. We need to know and we need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to know and understand. This is my, well, I've been preaching and teaching in the churches. Listen, guys, you know, I told you a little while back, I said, somebody gave me a church to sit there and start ministering in. And surprisingly, I started out with two people, and I've only been there a couple, 3 weeks, and I got nine people. Out of nine people, I've had five deliverances, six healings.
Amen.
God is moving.
Amen.
Nothing that I'm doing, but he's increased every week. He's increased two to three people into that church.
Amen.
And I don't do anything but allow the Spirit of God to move in that church. I'll tell you what, guys, I've only written three sermons in my life, and I had to throw each sermon away because I had to step out of the way and let God speak the word that he wanted spoken to the people that came in. That I had to go speak, minister to.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not bragging, because guys, I'm not bragging what I'm telling you. God is moving in that little church that they let me have.
Amen.
And I'm just amazed. I'm going, well, wait a minute. I had two people, and last week there was nine. And then out of the nine people, they said they're bringing their mothers, and they're bringing their fathers, and they're bringing their kids.
Amen.
Amen. Please.
Just,
I hear you, brother.
Amen. I'm just going, whoa.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and like I said, guys, I'm not bragging. Don't get me wrong. God forgive me. I'm not bragging on this. But like I said, I told the guys, I said, you know, I had people say, yo, shave your mustache and you start looking good. And other people sit there and say, well, says, you know, you shouldn't talk to people like this. It's not very pastoral. And I said, do I really care? I said, Jesus didn't seem to be very pastoral when he called the Pharisees vipers. And I think he called them a few other names, too.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, because I said, because I'm going to tell you why. I said, because somebody come up there with a passionate heart and a good heart of God and sit there and try to talk to you peacefully and nicely and try to explain things and says you wouldn't listen to him. So I said, he sent me to come up there and slap you upside the head and sit there and listen. I'm not afraid. You know, I was on the streets. I was in the, I was in North Dakota. And believe it or not, I was walking down the street and I stopped and I looked at this one man and I said, dude, I says, I'm going to tell you something right now. I said, I am the last person that God is sending you.
My God.
And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, God has sent you so many other people and you wouldn't listen to you. But I'm here to tell you right now, I'm the last person God is going to send. I said, now, if you want to get right with the Lord, I said, I'll stand here and pray with you. I said, but when I walk away, I said, you see that tree stump over there? You better go sit on that tree stump. And you better get right with the Lord. I said, because he's not sending you anybody else. And the man, he just looked at me, and he had just this, it broke him. Because I turned around, I walked away, and he walked over to the tree stump. Amen. See, I'm not afraid to sit there and tell the truth and tell somebody. Anymore, do I really care what I look like? I mean, do I really care? No. John the Baptist, I think if he would sit there and come into most people's churches, they'd go like, what's this? You want to do what? You crazy man. Get out of here. What's up?
That's right.
Amen. So, you know, remembering who God's going to send in our path, we never know who God's going to send in our life. But like I said, when he does send somebody, it's because he loves us.
Amen.
He sends correction no matter what. Like I said, if you want to hear it, it's somebody with a nice voice and well-dressed and just everything else and come up and sit there and hug you and hold you and say, brother, God loves you, and you don't want to listen, then he will send you somebody that is mean, vigorant, vibrant, and somebody who is downright and just say, woo, where'd that come from? Because he wants to get your attention, right? He wants to get your attention. He does whatever it takes to do it. Because he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Yes. Guys, that's my message for the night. Is it basically that when we get to that high point in our life, that we need to humble ourselves. Because that's when we are the weakest, and God is going to attack. Or not God, but Satan is going to attack us. And he's going to bring us down. And not only is he going to bring us down, he's going to bring everything down around us, everything that is with us, and our families, our homes, our ministries. It makes no difference. Our businesses, it doesn't make it, even our brothers in Christ. So we got to be aware and we got to be careful, guys. That's my message, is watch out, because your weak point is not knowing what you used to been doing, but it's when you get bigger than you think you really are, when you're overconfident, and when you think that you've got the world, then that's when you're going to be coming down, guys. And that's
Amen.
You know, that's just it. Be aware and know that God loves you. So, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Amen. But God bless you. I know that's is there another person on the line? I see on the line. You got a word to say, my beloved sister, brother? Hello?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just say, I want y'all to continue to, we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to believe what God's going to do, because God has given us a great task. We're going to do. And remember the words I say, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Until the next time, God bless you.
Amen. Powerful message. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. Good to see you.